On this episode, we are back with our Road Trip Unscripted series, where anything goes. And this is the 7th installment as we head outside the bubble and are not going to Disney, but to visit friends and family in Alabama and Georgia. Today is June 2nd, 2023. This is episode 570 of the Main Street Magic Podcast.
Jeremy and Rhonda are more than a little fond of Disney World, so they made this podcast to share it all with you. Reports and resorts, top 10 lists of all sorts, Main Street Magic's bringing it home for you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Main Street Magic. I'm your host, Jeremy Stein, and as always, I'm joined by my chauffeur, Rhonda.
Hey guys.
Make sure you check us out on the web at mainstmagic.com, as well as follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at mainstmagic. If you've not done so already, head out to Facebook and search for the Main Street Magic community and ask to join. And if you hit that subscribe button, you get brand new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. Planning a trip to Disneyland or Walt Disney World and you did not get your dining at the 60 days out, have no fear, because Mouse Dining removes the frustration of booking Disney dining reservations, alerting you when they spot availability for your desired restaurant, date, meal, and time. Visit msmfriends.com to use this free service. So we are in the Forerunner. We are heading on a little weekend getaway. We're not going to Disney, however.
Nope.
Where are we going, Rhonda, and why?
Well, we are going to visit my parents who have moved away from Florida and into Alabama. And it was so funny because every time I say it, nobody knows where it's at. Every time I say we're in Alabama, I say it, Valley Head. And everybody's like, oh, never heard of it. Yeah, no. Like, I swear nobody ever does. Until I said it to Chuck and Amy. And they were like, that's right down the road from us. I was like, wait, what? So I am super, super excited that not only are we headed to see my parents, but we are headed to stay with Chuck and Amy. My parents are building a cabin in Alabama. They do not have it ready. They just have concrete and they're getting the logs, I believe, as we speak. And so, yeah, that's going to take probably half a year or so. So we're going to stay with Chuck and Amy.
I hope that they didn't hire the contractors that worked on Tron. It'd be a lot longer than 6 months. Do I get to drive the John Deere Gator thing?
Yes, and actually Lacey will be as well.
Oh, that's scary. How many seats is it?
Four, I believe.
So not enough for me. That's perfect.
Yeah, let Daddy do that.
Yes, for sure. If you're not familiar with our Road Trip Unscripted series, this is where literally we're on the road and we're heading somewhere and we need to record. So we have our mobile studio set up. We got our little mics. So of course you will hear background noise from the vehicle, probably from Waze, maybe from the children in the back who usually aren't with us because we're doing this on the way to Disney. But I've got a Excel spreadsheet with some different just kind of topics that don't require a full episode, but just something we can chat about. We will randomly select a couple of those topics to make up the episode. And for this one, I went ahead and over the past couple weeks, some of the different Facebook groups that are out there, some of the questions seemed like good topics, so I snagged them. Not going to name names or who they're from or what groups they're from. They're pretty generalized questions, so I put those in the list as well. As always, Rhonda gets to randomly select a number. She's picking between 1 and 10. Rhonda, what is your first pick?
Number 3.
All right. What is the best resort or hotel for couples? Do you want to start off on that one, Rhonda? And what your thoughts are?
I'm trying to think because my original first like immediate response would be Polynesian.
Yeah.
But you know, it's deluxe. It's expensive.
Why don't we go at each level? Let's start with a value.
Okay.
What do you think would be the best value resort?
Pop Century? Yes.
I would agree with that. Skyliner Access.
Yes.
You can actually, if you have two people on the room, which, you know, you would if you're just a couple, you can request a king bed.
Nice.
So you don't have to worry about having the two queens. You know, if you look right across the lake, access to the Skyliner of Art of Animation, Little Mermaid room is tiny.
Yeah, and honestly, for a couple, I would want a kid, I think, because it's a Little Mermaid room.
Yeah, but, no, true. And if you're moving up to the suites, which would be wonderful for a couple because it's got tons of space, then you're going, all right, well, we just said, you know, deluxes are expensive, moderates are more expensive. You're going to pay, you know, $400, $500 a night for an Art of Animation suite.
Right.
So if that's up your alley and you're looking for space, you're looking for a place to chill out, you're looking for a place to sit and eat, you don't want to go to the level of a one-bedroom up in a deluxe resort and spend that money, then I think an Art of Animation family suite is actually really good.
Yeah.
So that's always an option. Let's move over to moderate. And I'll preface with this too. A lot of it is going to depend on what type of couple you are. Are you a couple that likes to eat and drink? Are you a couple that's looking for a romantic, more romantic resort? Or are you looking for a resort that plays off a bit more of just being fun?
Yeah.
You know, because you get to the moderate level, I immediately think more of a romantic style resort would be staying over at Port Orleans Riverside.
Okay.
You know, just the mansions and the grounds, and you can do the carriage rides there. That becomes a lot more of a romantic resort, I think.
Yeah.
And then if you're looking at more of the, I guess, kind of fun eat and drink, I mean, you got to pick Coronado. It's got some of the most dining options out of any resort.
Right.
Throughout, so I think that would be a really good at the moderate level. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I was just trying to think. I mean, you know, I like Caribbean Beach, and that's right there on the Skyliner too.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think even that if you're looking at theming. You know, there's a lot of times couples. You think of a couple's getaway; they might be headed to the beach or an island somewhere,
right? Or you can walk on over to Topolinas and have a nice dinner at.
Yeah.
Riviera. Two Topolinas.
Yeah, have dinner there as your kind of like couple's dinner or something.
Yeah.
Moving up to the deluxe, you know, again, if you're going to go poly, as you mentioned earlier, I think that's the, we like to eat, drink, lay by the pool.
Yeah.
If you're looking for what has the most romantic feel, I think you're going to Riviera or Grand Floridian.
Probably. And I like, which is going to sound funny, Boardwalk area, like maybe Yacht or Beach, only because of that area where you can walk, and then you can walk out of Epcot, and I feel like that would be almost a little romantic too. And then if you're staying at like Beach, you know, again, like you said, with Caribbean, like a lot of times people, when they do go on a couple's retreat or whatever, it's usually a beach or something like that. So
yeah, and I think
that's probably what I would do.
Well, and I think if you're the couple and your answer is, well, we want somewhere that can be both romantic and fun where we can eat and drink, yeah, the Boardwalk area, and I think specifically Yacht Club would be the way to go. Yacht Club has that more elegant feel. So does Boardwalk.
Yeah.
Either of those have that more elegant feel, but then you've got access to Epcot right there at International Gateway. There's going to be a festival going on. You've got access to all the bars, lounges, and restaurants that are right there on Boardwalk. If you're looking for the romantic date night, you can go right to Flying Fish.
Yeah.
If you're looking for the fun night, you go to Abracadabar.
Oh, yeah.
If you need late night hungries, you're at the Boardwalk Pizza window.
Yep.
So I think that brings a lot of options. So we did not select one, but we gave you an opportunity for many. and that's the thing with a lot of these questions, and that's one of the things that I do find fascinating about the Facebook groups and why I thought it'd be a fun discussion is that, you know, a lot of times you can have a question like, what's the best restaurant? Okay, we can tell you what our favorite restaurant is and why, but do you have kids with you?
Right.
Do you have picky eaters?
Correct.
You know, what are the ages of those kids? Do you have allergies? Do you want something that's character? Do you want something that's buffet? Do you want, like, there's so many additional questions, and so that's what we kind of want to cover from just the two of us instead of, you know, a big whole group. All right, I moved some things around. We took that one off the list, so now we're going 1 through 9.
Number 7.
Well, what is the best restaurant for a birthday dinner? See, that's perfect. Age dependent.
Yeah.
Who is within the group or the party dependent? What would you go with, Rhonda, just in general? And then maybe we can break down a couple things on whose birthday is it?
Well, again, my first instinct is to go to when we went to Kat's birthday in Epcot and Teppanito.
Yeah.
It's so fun because it is Japanese steakhouse where they cook in front of you. And it's not only great food, but you get a group of people and it's super fun and enjoyable. And, you know, she was turning a ripe young age in her 30s, I believe, correct?
I think so.
And so, you know, that was a great place for us all to hang out and have a drink and watch and enjoy and just laugh. And it was wonderful, but it would be a great place for kids too, in my opinion. Yeah.
No, that's a really good pick. And, you know, if we start there with, like, it's a group going out to celebrate your birthday, it could be all adults, it could be adult
right.
and children. Yeah, I think Tempanito is a great one, and I can't believe I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say it, Beer Garden.
Oh, okay, because I was actually thinking you were going to say Roundup Rodeo, because I was thinking that would be a really fun place, too.
I think so, too. But, you got all your adult beverages, you got your adult peanut butter and jelly milkshake there, and if you're celebrating an adult, but there's stuff for kids to see and do, I actually think any of those from a group atmosphere would be outstanding.
The Beer Garden is a good pick.
Yeah, Beer Garden, I mean, we had so much fun there last time with that group of 9 of us.
Yep.
And we had so much fun the time before, just the food was better for me the second time around. But I will go back, and I will go back with a group, I think, every time. I'd like to do Tempanito again as well.
Yes.
If you're getting down to more of the, you know, you want to celebrate a big, you know, birthday, or 40, 50, whatever it may be, and you're looking for something a little bit nicer, you know, go to last episode. Narcoosie's Flying Fish, California Grill are 3 really good picks up there.
We celebrated Amy's birthday at
Topolino's. Is a great one. I'm going to add Le Cellier now to the list, now that we've dined there. I think that would be a really good one. Mm-hmm. Or even if, you know, any of those selections would be good, too, if you're like, well, it's a girl's birthday trip or it's a guy's birthday trip,
yeah.
You know, and we've got a group of guys or girls. Or if it's simply like, you and your spouse, you and your best friend going to celebrate. I think a lot of those come into play. And then, you know, there's wonderful places all across property. If you looked at each of the parks, I mean, honestly, at this point, I know I show all this love for Skipper Canteen, but if you're celebrating your birthday at Magic Kingdom and you're looking for like a birthday dinner, I'd probably leave and go over to like do Ohana or Grand Flow Cafe.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, or California Grill at that point.
Yeah.
I think if you head over to Epcot, as we mentioned, Le Cellier, Beer Garden, Tempanito would all be really good choices. Mm-hmm. Looking at Hollywood Studios, Hollywood Brown Derby. We celebrated your 40th there? Or was it prior to that? I can't remember.
I don't know.
But we had an excellent experience there. And as we mentioned, Roundup Rodeo for something more fun.
Yeah.
And then Animal Kingdom, you've got Tiffin's for your more elegant, Yak and Yeti for your expanded menu, and Nomad Lounge would be a great place to go and just kick up your feet and relax on one of those couches, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
What do you think over at Disney Springs would be some of your best selections over there?
Oh, gosh, any of them, really. I mean, you've got T-Rex for children and Rainforest and, you know, for, like, adults, let's see, I mean, Morimoto, like, I mean, seriously, anything, I feel like.
Yeah.
Hangar Bar, like, it would be fun to start out a birthday there and, like, I don't know, maybe,
bounce to, like, Boathouse or
Wheelchair.
Vehicle on shoulder ahead.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing, there are a lot of vehicles on shoulders here in Georgia, and there are a lot of police, and we're on 75 heading, northwest, I guess, and man, this thing goes off every 5 seconds. All right, let's move on to our next topic. You now are selecting 1 through 8.
I'm going to say number 2.
Number 2. What Disney character are you most similar to? I think we did one in the past about villains. Ooh. I don't think we've done this one.
What
so
Disney
what would you say?
Character am I most I feel like you would have to answer that. Why would I answer that? Like... I mean, I would feel like I'm, like, brave, but I'm not.
like Merida? No, not what you look like. Who are you most, or like, I think you're very similar to Belle, kind of. You're great at seeing the good in everything, which is basically what she does, you know? I mean, she takes this beast and she sees the good in him, and, I mean, you do that with not only, like, people, but with the podcast and with things that we review sometimes, you know, you're always like that sunshine, ray of sunshine when you know, things might be a little negative or things we didn't like. So I would say that. You're not a big reader, though.
I used to read.
You don't have time to read now.
I watch shows now.
Yeah, have you seen, like, television? It's awesome. Like, highly recommend.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then why don't you answer for me? What Disney character am I most like?
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, don't say Beast.
Gaston. No, I'm just kidding.
Nothing like Gaston. Know, that's the funny part.
I know. I'm kidding.
Yeah, if this was who are you most not like.
I'm kidding.
Oh.
Gosh, I don't know.
What are my traits? And then we could narrow it down to a character, maybe.
I almost would say sometimes Donald.
Oh, my goodness. He's mad all the time.
Not all the time.
I can go in Donald mode sometimes.
Yeah, you can.
Not as outwardly as that. How about Olaf? I like Olaf. I like warm hugs.
You like warm hugs? Sure. I don't know.
I don't have bones.
Yeah, you do.
I don't think I'm really like any Disney character.
I'll have to, like, I feel like that's something I would have to think on.
Yeah. Well, we can always, if something pops up in your head during the rest of this, you can come back to it.
Yeah.
And then for those listening, you know, when we post this to social, you can say who you think I'm most like. All right, now down to 7 different topics, so pick 1 through 7.
Number 5.
Which all-star resort would you pick? Movies, music, or sports? And why, Rhonda? And do you think that this one has much to do with who's in your party, outside of you having a larger family and needing one of the all-star music suites, and they're only available at music?
Yeah, I think either just being by my, not by myself, but with you or with the kids, I love movies.
Agreed.
I mean, I love, because you got Toy Story over there, you have the 101 Dalmatians,
yeah,
and all the giant big pieces, and I love movies. And ever since they refurbed sports, like, I'm like, oh, okay. I was never
in
6. I don't have
3 miles
sports kids
exit onto exit 156.
Yeah. I think, all right, buddy, settle down. Yeah, sports just does nothing for me, because it's not, it's very generic.
Yeah, but I like music too.
Yeah,
but
music.
If you told me I had to pick, I'd be movies.
Movies. I agree 100%. I would select movies just based on the theming alone. Music is wonderful, but for me, if I'm staying at music, I want to stay in the Broadway section. I love the theming of the Broadway section, yeah, with the marquees, and you kind of feel a little bit like you're in New York, you're on Broadway in a way. Like, especially at night, it is just absolutely incredible there. So it definitely picked that. You know, we got refurbs throughout all now. And again, if you have a larger family, then we just stayed in the music all family suites last weekend.
That was,
and they
super
were
cool.
Outstanding.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And so you can sleep up to 6 in there.
Yeah.
So that's definitely an option if you're going bigger or you're sharing with somebody the way that we did. All right, we've now moved down 1 through 6. Pick a number, any number. That's 1 through 6.
3
All right. Can Disney gift cards be added to your room or your Magic Band for charging?
No.
They cannot.
You can go. Yeah. Let's see. What can you do?
Well, here's what you're going to do. First of all, register your gift cards at DisneyGiftCards.com. Right. So register all your gift cards. You can combine them up to $1,000. Always have a spare gift card on hand. So if you were to lose one with money on it, you can go right in online and you can transfer it to that empty gift card that you just have as a spare.
Right.
You can't link it to your Magic Band or your room for charges, but what you can do is use your Magic Band throughout the day, and then each morning, if you needed to, or prior to checkout, you can go and pay off your bill with your gift card.
Right.
So that is one way to do it. If you're worried about getting to the end of your trip and doing it, you could go down daily and pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, so you could go down each morning, you're going to get your coffee, whatever, you're going to the food court, head on to guest services, the front desk, tell them you got a gift card, you want to go ahead and pay off your room, you know, wherever it's at, and just do that throughout. Another tip with the gift cards is go ahead and jot down that gift card number in the Notes app on your phone so that you can use it for mobile order.
That's right. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, because you can't store the gift card Correct. In My Disney Experience for either room or mobile order. But what you can do is when you're doing your mobile order, it'll ask how you want to pay. You can select gift card, and then you can go ahead and just copy and paste that gift card number right in there. That way you don't have to pull out the card and type it up every time, which just gets super annoying, and nobody really wants to do that.
Right.
So those are the tips for using gift cards. You know, another thing just leading up to it, I mean, this goes beyond just that question, but, you know, places like BJ's Wholesale, I believe Sam's Club, even Best Buy sometimes, will do online deals. Target, Red Card can yes. save 5% on, yep. You know, Disney gift cards. And lots of just, you know, leading up to your trip, if you had 2 months to your trip and each week you just said, you know what, I'm just going to go buy a $20 gift card every week. Just go buy it, store them away after you register them, of course, then combine them into one. And, you know, over the course of even 8 weeks there, what, you got, you know, close to $200 just like that. And you can certainly tuck away more or do it for a longer period of time.
Absolutely.
Leading up. All right. 1 through 5. Now, Rhonda, we're narrowing it down a little bit.
Number 5.
All right. Number 5. Could someone please explain what rope dropping is exactly?
Oh my goodness.
What is that, Rhonda? What is rope dropping?
Well, I think there used to be legit ropes,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
But at the very beginning of the parks, there were ropes and cast members holding them and taking them.
I feel like they still do it, to be honest, at Epcot. There because they collect.
But yeah, you just say, and then when time opens, then they draw the rope and you can go and try to go to your favorite ride right then and ride it.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically arriving prior to park opening, whether you have early entry or it's standard park opening. So that they're going to let you in through the turnstiles. You're going to be in a waiting area, basically, on the other end of the turnstiles. And when the park opens, either for early entry or regular entry, they are going to let everybody in. Mm-hmm. And like Rhonda said, you're literally there for park opening.
Yep.
Just that term rope dropping comes from when they had physical ropes that they would basically, you know, have everybody stand behind.
Typhoon
and then,
Lagoon still does.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yeah, because we always rope drop Typhoon Lagoon. And that's your best bet. You know, if you're not utilizing Genie Plus, you're not utilizing individual lightning lanes that are paid for, you know, this is the time to ride the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train by heading straight there. Mm-hmm. You know, Frozen Ever After, Rise of Resistance, Flight of Passage.
Mm-hmm,
you know, those
yes.
are going to be your most minimal weights is at rope drop, so you want to get there early. And that doesn't mean that if the park opens at 9, you arrive at 9.
Oh, no.
You arrive maybe at 8. You know,
ish.
Yeah, something yeah. like that. So, because lots of other people are going to be doing this as well.
Correct.
And so you're basically competing with all those people. I do think somewhere like Hollywood Studios, it can be a little bit better because not everybody's rope dropping rise, especially with individual lightning lane purchases and
right.
standard standby throughout the day now.
Right.
You know, they might be rope dropping Slinky Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so somewhere like that, you might split up a bit more. If you're at Animal Kingdom,
Everybody's
the majority of people are rope dropping Flight of Passage. Like, that's
absolutely.
Just what they're doing. Same with Magic Kingdom. Epcot can vary. We see almost the sea part ways 50-50 on who heads towards Soarin' and who heads over towards Frozen Ever After.
True.
So that
that
can definitely vary. Would you like to do one more before we, because we're actually stopping soon, probably.
I just started saying, I think we have one more. We need
stuff.
To, yep, and then we need to start collaborating.
We're only down to 4.
Oh,
so,
all right.
1 through 4.
Number 1.
What is the best non-park, but still on-property restaurant for either breakfast or lunch? They have a 6 and a 9-year-old.
Non-park.
Yep, but still on-property.
Still
so
property.
You're looking at resorts or Disney Spring. Either breakfast
six
or lunch,
and
6 and 9-year-old.
Oh, we haven't eaten Garden Grill, but we have eaten lunch there. I'd say Garden Grill would probably be great for breakfast.
But you're in a park.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, non-park. No park.
Sorry.
Yeah.
My bad.
You're going to roll your eyes, but I'm going to say Cape May Cafe.
Oh, yeah, I am going to roll my eyes.
Cape May Cafe would be absolutely perfect for a 6 and 9 year old, off or out of park, but still on property. I think it's the best bet for breakfast. I'm going to go ahead and throw Rainforest Cafe in there. Six and 9 year olds for breakfast or lunch.
Yeah, that's true.
T-Rex, you can go for lunch.
Tutorial?
No.
Oh.
For a 6 and 9 year old?
For breakfast?
They don't have characters back.
Oh, I thought they were getting them back.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I cannot remember the name of the place that does the character dining over at Swan and Dolphin.
Oh.
Is that Garden Grove or something like that, I believe? But that would be a good option for breakfast. Yeah, I mean, that really kind of, you know, I'm just thinking of characters, I'm thinking of fun, right? Like, and still being at a resort. Yeah, I mean, I think character dining is going to be a really good one, but I would put Cape May Cafe number one for breakfast, and I'd put Rainforest Cafe number one for lunch.
Okay.
Let them see stuff, they can get up, they can go around, they can explore. But yeah, if you were going in park, Garden Grill is a good one.
Yeah.
I'd like to do breakfast there sometime. And then Ohana's going to be a good one for breakfast.
Yeah.
You got characters over there.
That's
you got
true.
Lilo and Stitch and Mickey and all.
Their breakfast is really good.
Yeah, their breakfast is good. It's a fairly standard breakfast with, you know, your waffles and eggs and stuff and bacon and sausage and all, but it's still really, really good. It's just done well.
Yeah.
Whispering Canyon.
Yeah.
Would be a lot of fun for either breakfast or lunch.
Yep.
We absolutely, I know it was a preset skillet only on Christmas Day when we went for lunch, but we had such a good time.
Yes,
it was a ton of fun. Make sure you ask for ketchup, even if you don't need it for your breakfast. So I think that would be another really, really good option. All right, we're going to wrap it up, and I will continue to collect some different questions and topics to add back to our list, because now we're down to 3. And so when we do this again, probably next month, we'll probably do this again actually in July, when we're headed down maybe to Universal for Lacey's birthday. We're doing 3 nights at Cabana Bay. And then the week after, we are going down to see Chuck and Amy at Disney World. So maybe we'll do another version around then. But thank you, Rhonda, for joining me. We were trapped in a car together for 8 hours, so you had no choice. We're going to stop for lunch, gas, and be on the rest of our way, because we're about halfway there now at this point. I think a little bit over. So thank you all so much for tuning in, for listening. If you ever have topics that you would like to hear on The Road Trip Unscripted, you can hit us up on social. You can email me at magic@mainstmagic.com. And if we think it warrants a full episode, we'll do a full episode. If we think it's kind of one of these quick hitters, then we'll go ahead and add it to the list. Hit subscribe, though, so you get brand new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. We have a lot of great content and topics coming up very, very soon. And as long as you're out there, we'd be super thankful if you could leave us a rating and review,
because it'll help our show grow.
That's all we've got. We'll see you real soon.
Jeremy and Rhonda are more than a little fond of Disney World, so they made this podcast to share it all with you. Reports and resorts, top 10 lists of all sorts, Main Street Magic's bringing it home for you.